B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, what's up, Zoe? How you doing?
Good morning.
Morning.
Whoo! Whoa. Nice day today.
Yeah?
Weather's turned.
Oh. Are we feeling fall-like today?
Feeling like getting mums today.
There it is.
When he goes to 35, you don't want the mums. You're freezing. I don't want them buds to freeze.
$11 pumpkins?
No, we're not doing that again.
2 for $10?
Now they don't have the hot baked pies there.
Yeah, this feels like temperature. Feels like a day to get mums. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, mom. Where's the meatloaf?
Oh, there's the... You know what? I was thinking about you the other day and the epic fall joke that you dropped on us a couple of years ago.
Which one?
The one about, like, fall down because it's fall.
Okay.
That's in lockstep. That's coming. With the mum.
That's coming.
Yeah.
It'd be one of them days, huh?
Could be.
Step up, big boy. You got one shot. It's
2 days in a row.
Bring friends.
Well, he started with a mum.
What is a mum? What color mum would you get? Do you like the traditional yellow? I sort of like the daisy mums, the white flowers with the little yellow dots.
Those are nice.
Purple ones. I like purple mums.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of over the yellow, the traditional yellow. Yeah, but yellow plays well off the orange.
I really like the orange ones.
Orange mums?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I don't see a lot of those.
Yeah.
They got to be in bloom.
Full bloom right now.
Kind of mums you get, Jim? Wake up, Jim.
Yellow. I like the yellow.
Yellow.
Put my headphones on. Relax.
Typical yellow guy. Company guy. Yellow. Down the middle.
I also like those deep red ones.
Yeah, yellow's such a company color.
You know what? But the red rot quicker.
They're dead already.
Yeah.
They're dead.
First little chill. Reds.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
they look great last week. Yeah. This week, dead.
You know what? Gets a little cold out. Red can't take it.
Can't handle it. Yeah. Cannot handle it.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Now I get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Yeah, let's do this.
You want to talk a little football?
Yes, I do.
We've got all kinds of things coming up today. Brad Stevens at 10:50, by the way. Burt Breer at 11. What do you want to talk about at the end of the game with
the
Patriots?
The clock management at the end of the game. And I know there's been some criticism here because everybody's under
Who is criticizing it? Have you heard
well,
it
you
somewhere?
Well, when you have multiple questions to a press conference about the play, beat writers are questioning.
Got it. Okay.
Felger-Mass.
That was a genuine question. I did not know the answer to it.
Felger-Mass were going after it yesterday, back and forth. And not saying they're quite like, oh, it's terrible they did that, but just trying to get an understanding as to why. So the ref on the play, and the play that I'm talking about is the Edelman drag right to left, and Bobby Wagner tackles him on. Looks like he lands on the white. Looks like he's almost out of bounds. No, but the ref's signals were still going. So I didn't see any panic from Cam, and I'm watching it on the All-22. And if you're supposed to clock it there, you're running to the middle, and you're going, let's go, let's go. You know what I mean? You got both hands going. Come on, clock, clock, clock. You're giving a clock signal. No. They were going to run a play. Because he calmly looks to the sideline and walks to the middle of the field, sort of jogs. And he grabs Edelman, shoots him over to the right. And then, boom, that's when he airmails that quick slant. Edelman was in the slot to the right. And that's the one where his hands had two hands on the ball in the end zone. High ball. I didn't think he could have caught that. Thought it was too much mustard on it. So then they huddle up again. So if you don't call timeout there, like they didn't, you now huddle up. And then here you go with the N'Keal Harry play, where he goes, elevates, gets tackled on the one. So if you get tackled on the one, you got that in your back pocket to burn timeout. Now, we got a 1 yard to go for the touchdown and the win. So I started to think, okay, say they did call a timeout when Edelman got tackled by Wagner. And I don't remember begging for it on the broadcast by me. Because I'm watching it. I'm like, come on, let's go. I'm like, let's go, let's go. I didn't say call timeout. But if you burn a timeout, you have zero timeouts left. So anything over the middle field is for naught now. You've got to go end zone.
Which means the Harry play can't happen.
Harry play cannot happen. And the Edelman long, middle pass where he gets tackled on his head on the 1 yard, those plays can't happen. You can't run a slip screen and get tackled inside the five. That can't happen.
But couldn't you run the Harry play and then clock it?
You could run the Harry play and clock it, but it takes 11 to 13 seconds once he's down. And we do this on Fridays because it took me back to the situational coaching we practice on Fridays. Okay, we're going to back you up. 2-minute drive. Guys, you got no timeouts left, but we're going to go big play here. When I say big play, throw a big post down the field. That takes 17 to 21 seconds of clock to get all your fat-ass linemen up there, to get everybody set and spike it.
So I'd have to do math, but don't you end up in the same spot?
You kind of wind up in the same spot anyway, is what my point was going to be.
Yeah,
so it's like,
right.
So you tell me, what is your best play? Is your best play throwing verticals in the end zone or drags or that? Or is your best play throughout the course of the night ultimately having 1 yard to go and put the ball in your best hand? Best
play. The situation hands. They were in, no doubt.
The point is it brings us back to it. I don't think my point is there's no right or wrong. So I don't think, he slipped in, he let this one go. No. No, because ultimately it comes down to about the same thing. You're going to waste time at the end of the game to clock it if you get tackled in bounds. Unless you're just satisfied going vertical, vertical, but now you just told the whole defense, all you guys got to do is cover a 10-yard spot, really a 5-yard area, because anything behind you is going to be high and long. You know what I mean? So that front end of the end zone is really the bang-bang play. You need to sit everybody on the goal line and then put another stack behind them, and you'll be able to cover us because we have to go to the goal line because we have no timeouts left. There's a good.
I think it takes more time for them to get up to the line after the Edelman play to run the next play than it does when they wasted more time in between those two plays than they would have in between the ensuing plays. I still think you save more time by taking the time out there as opposed to later
or clocking it.
You might be right. How much time would be the question?
How much time do you need? An extra 3 seconds?
I was going to say.
Would have been everything. We're talking about 9 seconds. Nine seconds to run those last two plays?
The next layer is you could have clocked it right after the Edelman catch.
Well, what you basically would be left with was an extra, let's say it's an extra 4 or 5. Let's be liberal with it.
Okay.
With an extra 4 or 5 seconds, you get to, well, and that means you clocked it after the Harry play. Which means that was a first down, right? So that means you're at the goal line. You have a shot to throw it.
But if you have your
shot
two plays,
you have a shot to throw the ball, and you have to throw.
You got to throw it.
And they're going to know you're going to throw.
Yeah. Takes away the run.
But it does give you an extra shot.
It gives you an extra shot, and it may not buy you an extra play, but it gives you extra time on one of the plays that you do run.
Maybe you save that sneak
and
for the last.
And I say it doesn't give you an extra play because you're going to end up clocking it for one of those plays.
I mean, you're not going to get any extra time after you run the football. So it doesn't really matter. Like, they get down to the one, they're running the ball.
Here's your problem, too. If you're throwing there, God forbid you get a holding call. You don't want a holding call. Game over.
It was a game over anyway.
But I'm saying.
I don't think so.
I think it's snap and throw. Nobody's going to call.
Listen, they didn't lose because of clock management.
And I hear this.
That's not why they lost.
Could the clock management have been better? Are you convinced that it's a total wash?
No, I'm with Zoe on this. I think either way.
So it's a total wash.
You're going to end up in the same spot. It was a total wash.
Yeah,
and
I thought about this a lot. I mean, it's the same. I didn't freak out about this.
I have to say, man, that final play, I bet they got absolutely hammered by their coaches in the meetings this week so far.
If we
on
block
that final play.
It's there. All
the play was there.
I looked at it from another end zone view when Awenu gets blown up to the inside. That was it. All you had to do is wall him off because Shaq Mason was coming around with a head of steam.
And couldn't because Bobby Wagner's in his grill.
And all he had to do was clear that guy, and then Newton cuts up inside. Because Jakob Johnson blocked his guy.
Ryan Izzo blocked his guy.
Awenu got blown up, and it blew the play up. Because you had a free guard coming in front of camp, too. Those two bastards.
And Joe Tooney had nobody to block on the play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting from behind. When you see it from behind.
So,
and if Cam went outside, he scored a touchdown.
Yes, there's that too, which I wasn't so sure of. I mean, you watch it at full speed. It's a little different.
He feels pretty good running inside. He likes that, though.
He likes it, but the one guy that he would have to beat off to the left, and again, it's... Thank you. All right. Everybody got it? Everybody got it? Fake promo Friday? Everyone got that?
I don't know who that guy is.
The one man that he would have to get around on the left, I know he was taken out of the play and he was blocked, but he was blocked on what was obviously going to be the play they were running. Had Cam done that stand-up hesitation, go out to the left, maybe that guy holds his position for an extra half a second and he's not blocked. So... We're viewing it from the way it went down, not as to with had he just gone left. Look, it's wide open. He's got a straight shot there to the left corner of the end zone.
I thought Cam after the game was saying that though, just to kind of take some of the responsibility on himself. Hey, I saw a clip of the play. If I had gone outside, we probably could have scored. Like one of those things. Like it was my fault. But then actually seeing it from that behind view he was wide open. There was 30 yards of field space out there.
There was a lot of space there. There was a lot of opportunity, but that play comes down to if they executed better, the original design of the play would have worked. If they could have blocked, it would have worked. So in the end, I don't think it was clock management that it all did in the Patriots on Sunday night. 617-779-0985. You have thoughts on that? We welcome them. And also, N'Keal Harry had some things to say about Cam Newton yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next.
All right.
All right, then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We trust that he's making the right reads, and you know he's done a great job so far of reading his progressions, getting the right guys the ball at the right time. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's from my perspective, it's more about making him comfortable back there and making sure that he trusts us when we head out and battle on game day.
N'Keal Harry talking about his quarterback, Cam Newton, who I think has been very, very good to his second-year receiver and has fed him the football and has encouraged him and said positive things about him, right? All nice stuff. Wouldn't you agree? Good relationship there?
Yeah.
Buddies?
Doughboy!
Doughboy! And then he said that Tom Brady was also the same way as Cam Newton. And was, you know, very supportive the way Cam is. Do you believe him?
Yes.
I don't. I have a hard time believing it. Maybe it's just because of what we see publicly.
Yeah.
Cam's show of support for N'Keal Harry has been very public.
I saw it during camp when Brady's trying to work with him. Like, here's where I want, you know what I mean, the individual stuff.
But isn't there a difference between, N'Keal, do this and... Hey, it's okay, buddy. You'll get it next time.
When it comes to wanting me to succeed, and in that regards, I think Tom wanted me to succeed just as much. But like I said, it's just hard trying to compare. And, you know, I just feel like as a rookie, it was just a lot harder for me to try to grasp the offense, missing half of the season, and then just getting thrown in there like that.
Yeah, I mean, the train was gone. Train wasn't just, hey, the train's moving. Right. You want to get on it? Oh, train left. Go chase it. Yeah, now you're being forced to be thrown in there and you're in must-win games last four of the year. A little different than what's going on right now. That sense of urgency last year was a little more elevated than what N'Keal's going through right now. But, I mean, I understand the difference between the two. You know, Tom could be the same and be asking the kind of the same, but the comfortability factor might be there more with Cam. That's all. I like working with this guy.
I feel like he's almost covering for Tom Brady.
Well, because you know.
And he wants to avoid it, and he's like, I'll give you all the other reasons why last year didn't go well. As
a
rookie.
Smart kid. He knows what.
Yeah, just coming into the league.
He's a smart kid. He hears it. He knows what's going on.
Sounds like he wants to say it's difficult to explain because Cam's just way better.
Yes. It's not, but he's smart enough to know I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to cause a bleep storm of, you know, intrigue and speculation.
The guy that had wanted perfection and won as much as that guy. Are you going to criticize that guy?
He is not going to do that. He's going to tell you, well, you know, to start with, it's good to have trust from my quarterback. Oh, and by the way, no, I had that with Tom too. Because he knew how it was going to be interpreted by saying it. Did he not?
Yeah.
He knows. So no. You know, it's hard to compare to last year because last year I was a rookie and I was new and I was just getting thrown into the fire and trying to pick up the offense and I was hurt. I missed time. I wasn't here for much of the year. But, you know, it's great to have Cam here. Cam is awesome. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I love playing with this guy. That's what I think he wants to say. That's what I think. 617-779-0985. Peter in Rhode Island on tight ends for the Patriots.
How we doing, guys?
Good.
I just want to add a question. I mean, I'm seeing Izzo out there catching passes. All, you know, off season, we're talking about the two third-round picks we picked up. I know Keen's been hurt, but I see Asiasi out there being blocking plays, and I know with Cam, his safety valve in Carolina was Greg Olsen. Why aren't we not seeing Asiasi out there catching passes? That'd be my big question, you know?
It's a fair one, and I don't know the answer. I can't tell you what it is that's keeping him off the field.
Rookie.
Not getting him more playing time than what he's getting. I mean,
go back to what Bruce Arians said, right? Hey, we don't throw the ball tight ends. That's what we have receivers for.
The Patriots don't say that, though. That's not what the Patriots say. They'd very much like to have more tight ends productive. Through 2 weeks, yeah, you're right. I don't know. I don't know the answer. You have any idea?
You're not
why?
Seeing him much. I mean, it's 10 snaps. Asiasi had 10 snaps. So if you saw him, good for you. Okay. So what number is Devin Asiasi?
81.
Isn't he 86?
I don't know.
I think he's 86.
What? So you ask a question that you don't know the answer to.
You're asking
to.
In such a definitive
well, now
way.
Now I'm second guessing because Zoe said it so definitively. I thought he was 86.
Well, I just figured that you had to be right based on what you had
he's
said.
He's 86. Keen's 84.
You said 81.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Jake in Boston. Hi, Jake.
Boys, first of all, before I get into a disturbing Cam Newton stat, let me state, 48 hours after his defense got torched for 5 touchdowns, little Stevie Belichick was at home by 6 p.m. Now, thankfully, if you saw his press conference this morning, Bill Belichick, this is a new level of, like, ripped T-shirt. Like, it's homeless. He either slept at the office last night or he was on methane mile and off Molina Cap. Like, there are 18 rips in the front of this shirt. It's hilarious.
Methane?
Now, yeah, the area off Molina Cap.
I think you're looking at methadone.
whatever.
That might warrant a disconnect, like Beetle. I don't know.
Like Zoe just said, whatever. Now, on to Cam Newton and the play that lost last Sunday's game.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Cam was back on the bike, his Peloton bike. He put up a 4.77. That was his personal best, which is fine if you're a normal 30-year-old athletic adult. Now, by comparison, Matt Barkley, your backup quarterback in Buffalo, puts up 600. Russell Wilson, 550 to 650 range. J.J. Watts in the 800. 4.77 is extremely low for an NFL quarterback. And if you look at that number, that's a power number. So with that in mind, if you know Cam's putting up a mediocre Peloton power number, why do you give him the ball and tell him to run off tackle versus running outside where not only he had the room, but you don't need to bully over a defense, an eight-in-the-box defensive setup. It makes no sense. And I know Ernie Adams doesn't have that number, but Jake from Boston does. And Cam Newton's Peloton numbers are symbolic of A, he may not be at 100%, and B, he doesn't have the length strength to go up the middle and survive a 16-game season as a de facto running back.
Wow. Peloton numbers down.
He lost me after methane mile. I didn't hear a word he said.
Where's
after
that at?
I discounted the entire call.
He said that his that Cam's numbers are being beaten handily by other players such as Matt Barkley, as you heard him.
Oh, who doesn't play, who needs really to get the best workout that he can. And Cam's not just trying to break a sweat each and every day on top of what he's required to do during the day. That's what that 450, 470 is. I'm going to pedal for half an hour and I'm going to sweat. Are you going to beat your own best every week? Is that what you want to do? Want to get it in the sixes?
He's just saying, though, that he's getting beat and he's not. His legs are.
You know what? They should trade for Matt Barkley then.
Legs are not as strong as necessary to go up the mill. I don't buy it. Nobody buys it.
I mean, a running quarterback like Matt Barkley. Come on.
I do enjoy the Peloton updates, though.
What the hell happened to Belichick? Jesus. I mean, he's trying his Halloween outfits on. He looks like Leatherface here.
Come into my dungeon.
I heard Toucher and Rich talking about it this morning, but I didn't see it until somebody shared it in our chain.
Yeah.
It's egregious.
Like, to have that many rips, you've got to, like,
ripping my shirt. It makes it, if that were anyone else, you would start to wonder, what's going on? What's going on with this guy?
I'd send my kid back inside. Throw that in the trash.
You would send somebody over for a wellness check.
What is wrong?
Oh, man, you'll love this.
I mean, how does that sweatshirt get back to him from anybody who does laundry for him at the stadium or at home or anywhere?
Are you throwing anything of Belichick's away ever?
No.
If you're the equipment guy?
No, you don't touch anything.
No chance. Especially a hoodie? No.
No.
That looks like it was once a hoodie, right?
Yes, and the hoodie got cut out.
Nobody's throwing any Belichick hoodies away.
That means something. That's badass.
It's bad. That's bad.
It's bad. Just take the ass off. Yes, you're on to something.
Let's go to Tim and Quincy. Tim.
Guys, how you doing? I'm not sure if it's up to Harry or one of the tight ends, but when they get inside the red zone, it was a huge problem last year. They have to have the ability to catch touchdowns. Mm. Cam can't run the ball in every time they're inside the red zone.
Yeah.
So Harry or one of the tight ends has to come up and make those big catches when they're inside the red zone. Cam can't.
What kind of route do you want them to run down the red zone? Like design something.
Just a jump ball to Harry.
Oh, jump ball.
I mean, something that.
Are you going to put him outside? You're going to bring him inside? You're going to put him in motion?
Either or. Because last year, they had no. No time. They had no production inside the red zone. I mean, Cam's done a great job running in.
What about a backdoor rub? Like, what if you rub him off the tight end on a lower drag and try and free him up that way? If you bring him left to right, you know what I'm saying?
But you can't just, have a jump off the back of the end zone.
You like that play, though.
Something.
What about delay, a little return delay? Bring Edelman in half motion, stack him outside, bring him down, stick it inside, get to the backer, return out, and bang it on him. Low. Like, what about right there?
That would work. Or what Brady did to Mike Evans.
Yep.
A back shoulder throw. Yeah.
Okay.
Something has to, be a lot more productive with the tight ends and especially receivers in the red zone.
Would you keep it front side with Cam? It's because you don't want him I don't want any bad habits where it's off the back foot to the left and then the ball sails. I want that thing front side, to strength.
No, I understand. But, Cam's done great. It's just you can't rely on him every time inside the red zone to produce.
Like, we already ran the fake pass play, right, where he fakes it and then throws it to Jakob Johnson. There's got to be something where one of those wings could come around sort of in motion, like the Philly special, and Cam could put the ball behind his back and he could hand it to them and, run a sweep. Like with Burkhead, fake the play. Do you remember who's the team with the blue field? We used to do
Boise State.
Dipsy do razzle do.
Liberty.
Statue Liberty.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's not going to work.
Oh, damn it!
But hopefully. Harry has the ability to, go up and get balls in the end, inside the red zone this year.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
All right.
I
You'll hear from the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick.
Thank God.
That's coming up next. Brad Stevens with us from the bubble at 10:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Bill Belichick is powered by the Oakers Company. They're providing one lucky school with a free 75-inch TouchView interactive display panel for any time, anywhere learning this year. Get full details and nominate your school through September 30th by visiting the contest page at 98.5thesportshub.com. Let's go to the head coach of the Pats. Here's Bill.
I'll just start off here. The Raiders, obviously, this is they're a very impressive start that they've had. I think that Coach Gruden, has done an outstanding job, really, of putting this team together in a pretty short amount of time, both from a personnel standpoint, coaching staff, and just the way that he's been able to get the players to do the things that I know he believes in and what he wants them to do. He's rebuilt the offensive line, the skill players on offense. And the running back position. So they're a very good running game. Complete a high percentage of passes. Score a lot of points. Control the ball. Drive the ball down the field. Execute very well. I think John has the offensive group playing at a very high level. They're good in the kicking game. Young specialists, but guys that are obviously good and, have a great future in front of them. Good return game, good coverage units. I think Heath's really helped them, Nixon. So we got a good group of guys there. And then, defensively, the players that they've added, the pass rushers last couple of years there, Crosby, Farrell, and then the guys in the secondary, Abram, Mullen, and Arnett, to go with Joyner. And Harris, very experienced players back there. Got a lot of experience at linebacker, with Littleton and Morrow and those guys, Kwiatkowski if he plays. So, Hankins inside, tough guy to block. So they've got a good mixture of, the youth and experience there. Coach Gunther's, one of the top coordinators in the league. Took his package that he had at Cincinnati and, installed it out there at Oakland and, modified it some based on, different whatever reasons he did that. But, they obviously are playing well and, do a good job in their coverage packages and Marinelli's done a good job out there, obviously, with the defensive line and getting those young guys to play and improve. And so, I think you can really see this team, being molded into the way that Coach Gruden wants to, and with both the personnel, the schematics, and just the overall playing style that he's been able to implement in a pretty short amount of time. So, Mayock and Gruden have done a really good job of collecting the talent that they want to run the things that they're running, and that showed up last year, but it's, you can see there's been a big jump this year as well. So, good opportunity for us here. Good test. Be a big challenge for us to, compete with these guys, but we're getting ready for it. Looking forward to it.
Good morning, Bill. Two quick ones for me. A couple of weeks ago, Aqib Talib went public with an alleged conversation you had with him about perhaps coming to play for you this season. I just wanted to check. Was that true?
Yeah, I have a lot of conversations with a lot of people. I'll keep my comments to any players that are currently on the roster.
Okay. So speaking of one of those players, Juwan Williams, beyond his length and his height, he seems to be a positive matchup for tight ends. What other qualities does he have that might allow him, as he did a couple weeks ago with Mike Gesicki, to match up with tight ends well?
Yeah, well, just the coverage skills that you mentioned. I mean, he moves well. He's got good quickness for his size and his length. He's a good tackler. He can play strong at the line of scrimmage, and does a good job matching routes down the field.
Hey, Coach, I was just wondering, when you're preparing for a player like Waller, how do you weigh sort of the best coverage option against him versus also being able to hold up against the running game?
Yeah, well, that's the challenge of players like that, you know, that are versatile players that can, create problems in different ways. And then, you know, the utilization of a player like that by Coach Gruden, by his, the way he does different things with them. And, John's very creative and does an excellent job of, you know, utilizing all of his personnel. So those are the challenges that we face. So it's definitely not just, you know, one thing. There are a number of things you got to deal with and be ready for. And so we'll, just try to look at all of them and put ourselves in the best position we can. But he's a very productive player. He's got a good set of skills, and he's a hard guy to handle.
Hey, Bill, wanted to ask you about Kyle Duggar. I know you talked about him a little bit earlier this week, but I'm just kind of curious as to your evaluation of him, you know, starting when he was just coming out of college, because I think he played a little bit more sort of as a deep safety in college. And it looks like he looks pretty comfortable near the line of scrimmage for you guys. So I'm just curious, what is it about his game, or where did you notice that might work for him, especially given not only the jump in competition for him, but the unique offseason that you guys just had as well?
Yeah, well, I think when we look at a player, we project where he plays is going to play for us, and where he did or didn't play for somebody else, you know, might have a little bit of relevance, but ultimately the evaluation is based on what we think he can do for us. So, between his college film and the Senior Bowl, which was, more of a pro style of defense, that's what we based it off of.
Morning, Bill. Not to put a jinx on you guys, but through two games, no offensive penalties, not a single false start, illegal formation, not a single offensive penalty. How impressed are you with the coaching staff and the players for their ability to do that, especially with having no real offseason, no preseason games, that kind of thing?
Our goal every week is to play penalty free. Unless there's an intentional penalty of, delay game or something like that, for a specific reason, and we always try to play penalty free, and it's always good when we hit that goal. Realistically, that's not something that we can accomplish for an entire season, but on a weekly basis, that's always something that we'll we try to achieve. So you're right, takes discipline, good technique, good fundamentals, good judgment and decision making on the field. So we've had a good amount of that.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thank you.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick getting ready for a game this weekend against the Raiders, the Vegas Raiders. We'll talk to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, his team getting ready for game 4. We'll talk to him from the bubble coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The former QB always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleeping on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Woo, woo.
10:52 here on Zolak and Bertrand. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in from the NBA's Orlando bubble, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, is here. Hi, Coach.
What's up, guys?
You like that music? Get you fired up for the game?
To be honest, I guess I wasn't really even paying attention.
Come
what were
on.
You playing?
A lot of rock and roll.
I don't know. It's some rock song.
Rage, Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, there you go. Not on my playlist.
All right. Let's
sorry.
Get. That's okay.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's not bad. Doesn't sound like you're walking today.
No,
it's early. Different time.
No, it's early. It's different time.
Okay.
So the game day, we have a we have optional shooting, so our guys can do whatever they need to do, and they usually, you know, guys that want to just find a rhythm, seeing the ball go in the basket. Some guys just want to save their legs. Some guys, you know, do very little, and then we do a walkthrough, and then after that, I get a little bit of free time to clear my head. So that'll be when I take my walk.
All right. I'll take the first question here today, Zoe, if you
okay.
don't mind.
Go ahead.
To go back to last week and to go back to the dust up, we'll call it, in the locker room, do you now look back on that after winning game three as a positive development in the big picture?
I don't, you know, I guess I really don't even look at that stuff. I just try to get ready for the next game. I mean, so the funny thing about that was, I think we were, you know, I don't know how many days we've been here, but it's in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
And we average, what are we, like 24, 25 years old on average. We're all on the same floor. We've had 30 practices and 22 games. We have not been able to leave this thing, right? So my first thought was when we got here, how are we going to get through 3 weeks of practice without a fight? Like, because everybody's going to be so stir crazy. And so, you know, just it's just such a unique environment. So it surprised me that it took that long to get a little bit emotional. So I actually am not surprised at all that us and several other teams, right, have had moments like that. And I'm sure everyone's had moments like that. You know, ours just happened to be in a locker room that's really like this open partition with media standing right next to it. So it doesn't like it was part of the experience. It's not like a huge deal. Every team I've been on in 13 years has had, you know, has been brought to a lot to heavy emotions. And this experience probably would trigger that more than any other that I've ever been through. So it's like I said, like when we were practicing, we were putting together our practice plans for July. I was like, how can we make sure that we compete, get in the shape we need to get into, but also can walk back up to our floor and not want to, you know, keep the competitiveness going. Right. And so I thought it was it's probably long overdue, but just part of the experience. It has nothing to do with anything, but we're just been here together. We're competitive. We let a game get away that we thought we had a chance to win. And ultimately, our guys were able to recenter, refocus, and get back to playing well together the next night.
Do you think the situation you described, being there for 70 days and being, you know, in a bubble and being stuck in the same place, everybody together. Zoe and I have been on multiple Super Bowl trips where we know that Patriots players have been told in the past, get your family things out of the way by no later than Tuesday, the week of the game. Has the family element added any level of distraction, or has it made things better? Is it good? Is it bad?
And God, no.
I would say on the other side, you know, the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler seem to be sort of bragging a little bit about how, we don't want our family here. We don't want the distraction. We don't want them here. Which way has it gone for you guys?
They have guests here, and we have guests here. You know, I don't know if Jimmy does per se, but I know several of their players do. So it's not – that is no – you get ready for your game. You have practice. You have film. You do extra work. You work hard at your craft. And then there's absolutely nothing negative about having family. I think that is one of the best things about this is when your families get to experience being part of a team and part of an organization. And so he may not have guests here, and he's a heck of a player, but he would be a heck of a player if he did have them here.
Huh.
So I'm not sure that would change much with him.
Based on the fact that it's Groundhog Day every day down there for you, are you ever going to go back to Disney World after this with your kids?
we've laughed.
The laugh says it all.
Let's put it this way. One of our laughing points has been whoever wins this thing,
yeah,
when they say, what are you going to do next?
We're going to leave
it. Ain't gonna be, I'm going to Disney World.
Get the hell out of Disney World.
Get the hell out of there.
That's probably the nicest way we've said it.
Oh, my God. I don't know. No, I don't know how you do it.
That's exactly what we've been thinking. So you know what's funny, though, is we haven't even seen Disney World. Like,
yeah.
I haven't seen a, you know, we haven't been allowed in the park at all. I think it's back open for people, but it really is. Don't know. I mean, we still don't have much. There's still not much traffic getting to, you know, there's not any traffic getting from our hotel to the Wide World of Sports and all that stuff. So it's wild. But yeah, I don't think this is going to be the next destination for the Stevens family vacation.
But like, if you need help in your room, you could dial mousekeeping.
The good news is I would, if we stayed here, I'd know the ins and outs of the resort.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Gordon Hayward's back, obviously, for you. And you kind of wouldn't give us an inkling as to when he was or coming back last week. But heard you talk after the game of what a force he is for you guys. Can you describe what that force is? Is it the spacing? Because it's, you know, the numbers weren't great. What was it, 6'5" and 3" or 6'5" and 4"? But people always look at basketball as numbers. What impact did Gordon give you guys the other night?
Well, I don't know which of those numbers were assists, but he's a great ball mover. He is going to make the right play 99.9% of the time, and he's always seeking to make the right play. You know, and I think that, you know, when you're, you know, people in Miami's like Toronto throwing a bunch of different defenses, and certainly the zone has gotten a lot of attention. But when you have a guy that is another guy that sees the game and can make the next right play and gets off the ball quickly, I think is really important. And it makes us better. When we were playing in the seeding games right before the playoffs started, I thought that those guys had all figured out how to play great together. And, you know, I think that they really worked hard on figuring out their spots and how to make plays for each other and make the right play over and over. And I felt like that was the highest level we've played at still to this point. And so it was good to have him back because you saw a little bit of that, you know, when they went zone, he caught the ball on the wing. He pass faked one way, got right back to Kimba, and Kimba made a three. You know, when he got the ball on his first pick and roll, they overhelped on him and Tice rolled and he just dropped it off to him. And he had several defensive plays where he just was in the right spot, you know, and I think that's, you know, he is one of our older players, obviously accomplished, but very, you know, just his experience and his understanding and his willingness to make other people shine, I think, has really been great all year. But I think he makes the game easier for everybody when he's out there.
So I know you talked about the lineup after the game with Gordon and Brown and Smart, Tatum, Kemba. You didn't have a lot of opportunities to use those five guys on the floor at the same time in the regular season. Do you see yourself using it more as this series goes on?
We'll see. I mean, that it helped us at the end of the second quarter. I'm not sure how much it helped us at the end of the fourth. It has not been a good lineup statistically, but, you know, it's such a small sample size. I'm not sure that really matters. But I think that, you know, we'll try to pick the right times to use it. The challenge of that lineup, right, is just you don't have the vertical threat at the rim that, you know, Tice or Rob or the rebounding that Cantor gives you if those guys are all at the five. What you have is more speed to spread it out and more ability to drive it, but you got to have great spacing. And that's usually a function of really working together and playing in that group. And so we did a little bit of that in the seeding games, but not a ton. We did not get to do it in practice leading up to the seeding games because Kimba didn't practice. And we didn't get to do it much this year. So, you know, I think we have to, when that group is in, run a specific set of actions to just open the floor up and let those guys be the best version of themselves and space a little differently than when we have our bigs in. And that's the challenge. But on the other end of the floor, the challenge is how in the heck do we get out of bio, you know, off the rim and off the glass. And, you know, he's been in, he's a terrific player, one of the best centers in the league for sure. And he's given us fits this entire series. And so whether you're big or small, you know, he's something we have to he's a major focus that we have to do better on.
Jay Crowder had some comments that playing for Eric Spoelstra is very similar to playing for you. I'm curious to know if you would agree with his assessment that you guys are similar.
I've never played for Eric, and so I
but
have
you
no
know
idea.
Him. You know him.
His teeth are white.
You guys seem friendly. You seem like you know each other pretty well.
Yeah, I haven't seen I didn't see that Jay said that. But that is, you know, for me, a great compliment because I think the world of Eric. I think he's excellent on both sides of the floor. The way that this team has attacked offensively is unique, but it plays to the skill sets of their players. And you know when they went zone, he caught the ball on the wing. He pass faked one way, got right back to Kimba, and Kimba made a three. You know, when he got the ball on his first pick and roll, they overhelped on him, and Tice rolled, and he just dropped it off to him. And he had several defensive plays where he just was in the right spot. You know, and I think that's. You know, he is one of our older players, obviously accomplished, but very, you know, just his experience and his understanding and his willingness to make other people shine, I think has really been great all year. But I think he makes the game easier for everybody when he's out there.
So I know you talked about the lineup after the game with Gordon and Brown and Smart, Tatum, Kemba. You didn't have a lot of opportunities to use those five guys on the floor at the same time in the regular season. Do you see yourself using it more as this series goes on?
We'll see. I mean, that it helped us at the end of the second quarter. I'm not sure how much it helped us at the end of the fourth. It has not been a good lineup statistically, but, you know, it's such a small sample size. I'm not sure that really matters. But I think that you know, we'll try to pick the right times to use it. The challenge of that lineup, right, is just you don't have the vertical threat at the rim that, you know, Tice or Rob or the rebounding that Cantor gives you if those guys are all at the five. What you have is more speed to spread it out and more ability to drive it, but you got to have great spacing. And that's usually a function of really working together and playing in that group. And so we did a little bit of that in the seeding games, but not a ton. We did not get to do it in practice leading up to the seeding games because Kimba didn't practice, and we didn't get to do it much this year. So, you know, I think we have to, when that group is in, run a specific set of actions to just open the floor up and let those guys be the best version of themselves and space a little differently than when we have our bigs in. And that's the challenge. But on the other end of the floor, the challenge is how in the heck do we get out of bio, out of, you know, off the rim and off the glass. And, you know, he's a terrific player. One of the best centers in the league for sure. And, he's given us fits this entire series. And so whether you're big or small, you know, he's something we have to, he's a major focus that we have to do better on.
Jay Crowder had some comments that playing for Eric Spoelstra is very similar to playing for you. I'm curious to know if you would agree with his assessment that you guys are similar.
I've never played for Eric, and so I
but
have
you
no
know
idea.
Him. You know him.
His teeth are white.
You guys seem friendly. You seem like you know each other pretty well.
Yeah, I haven't seen I didn't see that Jay said that. But that is, you know, for me, a great compliment because I think the world of Eric. I think he's excellent on both sides of the floor. The way that this team has attacked offensively is unique, but it plays to the skill sets of their players. And, you know, everybody talks about guys that can do it all. They've got some guys that do what they do better than anyone else. And what they do is they play to the strengths of that. And they put those guys in to play to the strengths of that. Bam Adebayo at the elbow as the five is as good as it gets at handing off and rolling, getting out of ball screens and rolling, faking it and driving and dunking. Those shooters are as good as it gets at running off those screens and shooting. And then you've got special individual players like Butler and Dragic and guys like that that, you know, can make you pay if it becomes an isolation game. He's put them all in unbelievable positions to be the best version of themselves. And then on the other end, I thought at the start of the year, they weren't as help-oriented as now they are. It's not that they weren't. They were still good. But now when they see a, you know, somebody has an advantage to attack, they are all where they need to be, help long, active, in passing lanes. And they make it very tough to get to where you want to go. And I think that that's just a real testament to them. I couldn't say enough good things about him. He's excellent. And so for Jay to even mention that is nice.
Well, Coach, it feels like it's been forever since your last game. So good luck tonight. We're all looking forward to it.
Sounds good. Have a great day, guys.
You all too, right. Coach. See you. Good luck.
Thanks.
Brad Stevens with us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We'll talk to Bert Breer. He's going to be joining us over his Zoom link from home. We'll do that in just a couple of moments. Zoom. No commercials, just the headlines with Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.